brothers and sisters of Sunnyvale. So we'll just jump in. And if you would turn to Psalm 124, that would be our text for this morning. Psalm 124. Please stand once again in honor of God's Word as you read it. If not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us his praise in the teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. God bless the reading. Now, God willing, the proclamation of his word, if you would be seated. Here's a question that is answered by this psalm in the first opening of lines, that first verse. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. This answers a question, and the question is implicit in the text. And the way I see this is as a song of ascent for the people who were in exile in Babylon. It is a reminder to them that the Lord was there. I see this as a priest, as a leader of some kind, who is answering the question that's implicit in the people's conduct. He knows what's going on. He hears them. He can hear the rumblings, as it were. And so before they're able to verbalize the question, answers. And I wonder if this question is one that you've had to ask before. I would imagine it is. I look at it, you and you've all gone through the same kind of trials and tribulations as each other. There's nothing that happens that's not common to us all. And sometimes this question just rises up from the breast. It just kind of forces its way out of us. Sometimes our spirit just festering there, as it were. And other times we can't hold it back. And it bursts out of our mouth. I wonder if you've ever asked this. The question is this. Where was God? And sometimes it's personal. It's like, where were you, God, when? Where were you, God? Where was God when? I picked up the phone, and the police said, you need to come down because your son or your daughter has been in an accident. Where was God when the doctor told me that my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, has such and such condition? Where was God when my company collapsed? When the economy fell apart? Where was God when? Have you ever asked this question? Have you ever screamed out from your spirit or even out of your mouth, where were you, God, when? Well, this is the question that the psalm answers. If the question was, where was God when? The answer here by some leader in Babylon, in the exiled land, some priest, some Levite who knows the sense of the people and wants to bring them comfort, he answers the question they don't ask. And this is the answer. If you've ever asked this question, if I have recently myself, where was God when? When whatever? When there's a knock at the door, you look up and there were the first responders telling you about an accident. Where was God? He answers for us. And he says this, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then he expects the whole congregation to answer back and repeat it, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And how much more would it have been? The question that we all have to admit that we have wondered at times. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do, if you trust the promises of God, they're all yes and amen in Lord Jesus Christ, who promises he will never leave you or forsake you. Who says, if you ask in my Father's name, that he will give you. I will grant it to you when you pray in faith. And we do pray in faith. We pray for all these things that do go wrong. We pray for them not to go wrong. Do we not? And yet, Jesus promised us that in this world we will have tribulation. We will have trials. There will be trouble in this sin-cursed land. And do we not often cry out and say, where was God? These are these hard times that are answered by this psalm. Psalm 124 answers this plaintive cry, this heartfelt, this cry out from the soul of where was God? Where was God in all this? Whatever this is, whatever this was, whatever you're going through now, if you're crying that out, where is God now? From the song is this. God was on your side when he brought you through. And God is on your side now as you're going through whatever that trial is. He will not leave you or forsake you. And whatever it is you're going through, the psalm here answers, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. He goes through the darkest times with us. You know, there's that poster, I remember, it's a little bit on the sentimental side, but bear with me a moment. You see that picture, that the footprints in the sand? And there's that poem, and I can't even repeat it, but it has to do with how there's two sets of footprints, and that's Jesus walking with the guy, going through all the times with them. Then he says, but Lord, when it was hard, there's only one set of footprints. Remember this? What does Jesus say? I know it's a little bit sentimental, but I kind of like it. Well, that's when I was carrying you. That's why there's only one set of footprints. Christ with us. God with us. Let's engage with what these original hearers had here in this song. The first thing I want to bring to you is it says a sense of David. A song of a sense of David. Going along with much scholarship, some of the very, very old, some of the more recent. This is really more Davidic than of David. I don't think David wrote this. This is written in exile for those people in Babylon who were coming back to Jerusalem, who had been released by Cyrus' decree. You can read this at the end of 2 Chronicles, the beginning of the book of Ezra. We won't go there. And sort of what they're asking, this question, this Levite or this priest, whoever it is who's leading this, the question they're asking is, okay, where was God? Where is God now? You're telling us to trust God, trust this decree of Cyrus, trust that God made him release us from this land. And yet, Mr. Priest, Mr. Levite, whoever it was who was leading us, where was God? 70 years ago, when the wall of Jerusalem was destroyed after months of starvation and deprivation, where was God? When those Babylonians came over that wall that they destroyed, God having sent them in the first place, our sons were slaughtered, our women were ravished, our houses were destroyed, we were taken exiled into this foreign land, the temple was ransacked and desecrated, and now you're telling us to trust him. First, tell us, where was God when all this? Have you ever looked back in something like that? If you look back and think, well, this didn't work out quite the way the scripture seems to promise to me, or at least the way I hoped, when I lost that job, when the economy collapsed, when my husband and wife left me. Where was God? Listen to what he says. And remember, as I remind you what I just read in the psalm a moment ago, this journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem is often called the Second Exodus. The Second Exodus. Excuse me. Some might even say a greater Exodus than the first one. In many ways. If not then the Lord was on our side, when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. In other words, looking back to the first Exodus and using that as symbol of this one that they are now about to engage. Perhaps after this question, he will answer for them. They will then engage in this Exodus. He says, you know, but nothing, the Lord was on our side. When these people rose up against us, think of the Egyptians. When we left, they said, okay, no, we don't really want them to leave. We want them back. And they rose up against us. What would have happened had it not been the Lord was on their side? They wouldn't have survived. They would have been swallowed up alive by those Egyptians, as the people in Babylon would have been swallowed up alive by the Babylonians when they destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. See, this Levi is saying, you know, God was on our side. God was there. When was God on your side? Not just in those who survived. What about before that? Can we ratchet it back a little bit and answer this question even further back? When was God on your side? We don't have to go way, way back. Let's just go to Jeremiah, who was the prophet who preached before, during, and then after that terrible destruction. He preached doom and gloom. He was thrown into a pit of mud. Hopefully, he'd get sucked out like quicksand. I think is what they intended for him. He was a preacher, a prophet of God, who said, you know, you sinned. You're terrible people. God bring you destruction. And all this bad prophecy that made the king and his false prophets so angry. Well, let's stop there. I see a lot of nods, so you understand the story of Jeremiah and that whole prophecy. Let's answer the question. So, here we are in Babylon. You want us to go back. You want us to trust. Where was God when? Well, God was on your side when he sent Jeremiah to warn you of just this disaster that was coming. Not just that God was bringing you, but he warned and warned and warned. All through that book, he told to surrender to this king, this Babylon, this king of Babylon, this foreign pagan king, because it's God's will. Brethren, God was on their side when he was warning them of disaster. As God is on your side now, on my side now, on all of our side, as I heard Sunday at school this morning, we think of the way the world is deteriorating before us. That many become murderers of fathers and blasphemers and unruly and all those things that were listed out from 1st and 2nd Timothy. Do you not see that as we're told how bad things are getting, why are we told? Because God is on your side. God is on our side telling us and warning us. For Israel, when they were sent out of Egypt and now being sent out of Babylon, when those people rose up against them, if God hadn't been there, if God had not been for them, they would not have survived. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 24. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. I think he's talking about the Red Sea. Here's Egypt chasing after them, the chariots. The people are terrified. And yet what happened? The raging waters that kept them trapped. With the Egyptians and the chariots coming at them, and the water where they could only drown behind them, it'd be terrifying. I read once that one of the techniques that the Egyptians used with their chariots was unique to the Middle East, is they trained on this. They come charging into the line, with the foot soldiers running behind them, fast again. And here's these massive chariots with these huge war horses snorting and galloping and making the earth thunder and shake. And just before they run you over, they would do kind of a slide, a donut, like you see in those sideshows, and slide away and knock down the front wall or the front line of the army that they were coming after. Just knock the lines apart, so all the shields come apart, and they come through. This would be the Israelites were facing when they saw that Egyptian army come at them. And here's the answer. Do you know God was on your side? Because a water parted. Do you remember this? Of course you remember this. The water parted. God was on your side. Well, as terrifying as it was to see those chariots coming and the foot soldiers and the spears and the bows behind them, God was on your side. God was on your side. He's on your side now. Trust his sovereignty. Trust that he really did move Cyrus to release you. Go back because God was on your side. God was on your side when Jerusalem was destroyed, when the temple was ransacked, because this could have been so much more than what actually occurred. Because what did God do? God, being on their side, said, as it were to the Babylonians, as he says to the waters, you read the book of Job, this far and no further shall you come. God says that to drops of water. He tells the ocean how far the beach each wave can go. This far and no further. Had God not, how much more would Babylon have done? How much more violence would it have done in that place if God hadn't been on your side? And blessed be the Lord, who has not given us up as prey to their teeth. Very intensive kind of picture here. Prey to their teeth. And they would tear you apart like cannibals, like savages, like wild beasts. Yet God didn't do that. God held them back. God on their side. You know, the Lord is on our side, even in the darkest times. If we believe as we do in the sovereignty of God, we being Reformed believers, one of the hallmarks of Reformed faith is the sovereignty of God. That starting point. If we do believe this, then we know that what comes upon us, the tribulations, the trials that come, are from God Himself. They're all decreed by Him. He gives us the hard times because He's on our side. And does it not say the same thing in James and in Peter? Again, you don't have to go there. But do they not say, don't be surprised at the trial that comes upon you. You're being burnished like gold. The dross is being driven out of you. God is giving you hard times. Why? He's on your side. He's with you. He's for you. He wants you to become like Christ Jesus. And we do that through trials. You know, we don't learn much by things going exactly the way we planned, do we? Except we might learn how good we are at planning. And we might get our head a little bit bigger than it was. I'm not a good planner, so I don't get big heads over that and other things that I could struggle with. But the easy times are not what we learn. It's the hard times. It's the difficult times. It's those times when you pick up the phone, as I did with my wife and my son last August. And the doctor says something like, she has stage 4 cancer, it's advanced and aggressive. Months, not years. You can't imagine what you feel as a Christian, as a pastor. You want to scream out and go, what? Lord, no. This is not what we had planned. No, I've got a retirement. We save money. I drive old cars so we can have nice vacations. That's right. On my wife's side. You know, as I stand before you, I really do want to thank this church for your prayers, for the support that you gave during that very hard time. As most of you know, my wife passed last March. Okay, it struck me as I was driving here. It's only 5 weeks ago. And I look back and I'm considering this message I'm bringing to you here this morning. Where was God? He was on my side. As on my wife's side. But He brings us through. He brought an end to her suffering, this terribly painful cancer she had. And I can look and I can tell you from my heart of hearts that through it all, I can, with the psalmist, say, it would not have been the Lord who was on our side. Maybe she would have suffered for 3 or 4 or 5 more weeks. And frankly, I couldn't have taken it, much less her. We don't learn much when things are. We don't learn that God was on our side when all goes according to plan. Do we know the expression according to foil? Am I in my tools? Do you know that? Raise your hand if you know the expression. Foil is the book of rules of every car game in the world. And so according to foil just means according to rules, according to plan. So when all goes according to foil, our own personal foil, what do we learn? Might learn something about ourselves. Maybe the class we took in economics paid out. We learn more when we go through the hard times. And we go to them with a trust in God's sovereignty. Knowing that it is God who brought the hard time. And God did it because He's good. And God is with us, bringing them through them so we'll be burnished, so that it draws us out, so we learn more about ourselves. Learn how to repent. See more of where we need to grow in Christ and how we need to grow in Christ. And then God says, enough. Because in the temptation, He brings a way to escape. And I would superimpose upon that. In the trial, there's that way of escape. In the trial, we go to that temptation to stop what we can. Or to set aside our faith for a moment and just go our own way. Take matters in our own hands. And why do we do that? And we do that. I do. Most of us. More heads nodding. We do that. Because we forget that in it all, Christ is with us. Not leaving us, not forsaking us, keeping His promises. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. He is always on our side. He has not given them as prey to their teeth. He kept a remnant alive in Babylon between Persia when they were released. He kept them because he was on their side. They were doing well there. They were prosperous. They were well integrated in society. They were allowed to practice their Jewish faith. The whole synagogue, and maybe in the Pharisaic movement, developed them. And the Pharisees then were not quite what they were when Jesus came along some centuries later. But they were doing well there. Could they not say, hey, look at this. God's on my side. The table's full. My wife is plump. My children are healthy. Got a good job. I'm friends with all these Persian, Babylonian people. This is good. God's with me. God's on my side. Right? Well, yes. Yes, let's not denigrate the good times. Let's not forget that when things are good, let's thank God for them because God's on our side in that way also. Though I would still make the case that we grow more like Christ by going through the harder times. These people in Babylon who first heard this message would say, God's on my side right now. And what this Levite, this teacher, is saying is yes. He was on our side with Jeremiah warning us. He was on our side when he slowed Babylon down and the ultimate destruction didn't come. He's on our side when he kept us as a remnant here. And now trust, he's on your side today. And as we travel 900 miles back to Jerusalem, he will still be on our side. For Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. They would have swallowed us up alive. Let's go back a little bit. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, and over us would have gone the raging waters. The torrents were in the desert there, in that land. And you had these channels, they'd be dry in the summer. And if there's any rain at all, they would fill up so fast, they'd become dangerous in just moments. And would sweep you away. This was the torrent. You wouldn't want to put your toe in there, because it would grab you enough to suck you in and take you away. I might exaggerate that a bit, but I want you to understand that these are channels in the desert that fill up very, very fast in the rain. The flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Over us would have gone the raging waters. There's something very important here about God on our side, about God on your side. You notice that they didn't say, then the flood would have gone away. And there would have been no torrent to go through. You see, that's what I was saying before. And I want to emphasize again that God doesn't show himself and doesn't grow us to be like Christ by taking us around the hard times or by some wave of his hand go poof and suddenly they're gone. You go through them and he takes us. And that's that poster where there's the two sets of footprints. We're walking alongside, and things are good, and the job's good, and everybody's healthy, and there's food on the table, there's money in the checking account. And then there's that one set of footprints. When Jesus Christ picks us up, he carries us through. But he doesn't avoid taking us into the hard times. And we must not avoid those either. And the way to enter into them, the way to do them, is to trust that God is sovereign, so they're from his hand, and to trust that he's with you, and he means good. Because the judge of all the earth, in Genesis 19, can only do what is right, and will always and only do what is right. And what is our predestined path? What does it say in Romans 8? We're predestined to become like his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went through hard times as well. You know, one of my favorites, we'll have some other examples, one of my favorites is in John chapter 6. And when he talks about how you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, otherwise you have no part in me. And people are going, what is he talking about? This is terrible. And they leave him. And many disciples stop walking with him. And then he turns to his 12. He says, do you want to leave me too? Do you want to go away? Are you going to join them and join the crowd in going away from me? Here's his humanity shining through. Always God, always human, both, not co-mingled even. He was both, not separately God and separately human. But in his humanity, this hurt he would see if the 12 would say, well, we're going to join them. This is just too hard. Jesus was tempted always as we are. yet without sin. You know, God never once avoided or let him avoid the hard times. Jesus Christ, when he called out to God as we so often do, what was the answer? When we cry, we can say, where were you, God? Where was God? Well, Jesus didn't say it quite that way. But what did he say three times? Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. And with what kind of agony did he call us out to God? The kind of agony we have when we run into those hard times. The sort of thing I felt back in August when I was told my wife was going to die. And then 5 weeks ago when she did. Jesus didn't say it that way. What did he say? He said, if the fear will take this cup from me, with such agony, such humanity as we would have, as we have had, when we call out the way we do, he sweat blood. Remember, he sweat like drops of blood. This is Jesus Christ. And what did he say? Take this away from me. Do something else, Father. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says he cried out with vehement tears. Say, cried out to him who could save him from death. And what did God answer? God being on his side more than anybody else's side. He says an angel has strengthened him. He said an angel said, no, there is no other cup. There is no other way. No, the angel didn't say it. Jesus said this. So I'm superimposing on the text. He said, you take my point. He said an angel has strengthened him. See, Jesus didn't earn our salvation the easy way. He went to the cross. He went to the cross and felt the nails in his hands and his feet. He went to the cross where his Father turned away as he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might in him become the righteousness of God. Was God on his side? Absolutely. Through the hard times. Even through the joyous times, perhaps it came up at the wedding feast. I always think Jesus enjoyed himself. God was on his side. But ultimately, where was God on his side? Because when Jesus cried out to him who did will save him from death, God did. By the resurrection. He raised him from the dead. God was on his side. He raised him up. He certified that when Jesus Christ said, it is finished, it was finished indeed. And the way I hear this is not it is finished, his last breath squeezing out at the cross and all the physiology that happens there, squeezing out his breath so he had no voice left. I hear a battle cry. I hear a victory cry. Not a wheezing, it is finished, but a shout, it is finished. God was on his side when he raised him from the dead. And God was on your side when he raised him from the dead. Romans 4:25 says he was raised for our justification. Jesus Christ was raised so it is certified for you and me that we will be raised with him. Ephesians chapter 2 says we're raised with him now, we're seated with him in the heavenly places because God is on our side. God was on our side when he gave you the Spirit to believe this wonderful gospel truth. And God is on your side when the deposit of the Spirit within tells you that this resurrection that we have now, this resurrection life that we lead today, walking with God on our side this moment, is but a foretaste. What we'll have when we follow Jesus in a resurrected life. Yes. Jesus cried out with prayers, with vehement cries, to save me from this, O God. Save me from this. Get another cup. Find another way. No, the cross. He went to the cross, and God on his side raised him from the dead. You know, you may go through the waters. You may go through the trials. You may have something happen like happened to me a few weeks ago when I lost my wife. But they don't have the final say. Whatever the ultimate end of it is, the final say is, was, and always has been, God's. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that God chose us in him. That God the Father placed us in God the Son. That God the Father chose you by name, by person, before the world existed. And I think that before time existed. But at least before the world. Before we were around. And did what? Placed you in Christ. predestined you to be a beneficiary of Jesus Christ's suffering. So I ask you, when you have those hard times, if you're going through them now, do you know that God was on your side before the world was made? God was on your side before the trial. God was on your side before the sin. God was on your side before you were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. God was on your side throughout all eternity, and never will be other than that. He's not on our side by making life easy. Nothing about this life is easy. And God bless you if you're in easy, level, smooth times now. Enjoy them. This is the time to learn to pray. This is the time to fasten yourself to God and say, God, you are on my side and will never not be on my side. So in those times, turn around. I'm not a prophet, but they're likely to. The best I can say. You'll have that practice of spirit and mind. From your soul you can call out, if it not been the Lord who's on my side, how much more would happen? If it not been the Lord who's on my side, this trial would not have made me more like Jesus Christ. Where was God when? Do we know that now? God by His Spirit is within you. God by His Spirit dwells with His people. Where was God when? Where is God right now? He's with you. He's with me. Individually and separately. God with His people. God with those on whose side He would always and ever be. It's by faith in Jesus Christ that we have this confidence. It's because of Jesus Christ who in His humanity went through everything we go through. Saw all the trials. Felt all the kinds of pain. All the temptations. And yet without sin. And so God is on our side even in that wonderful example. We don't say because Jesus did it, we can do it, because that's almost blasphemy. But we can say because Jesus did it, and He gave us His Spirit to give us the strength to follow the Scripture and do as He did. To that degree we can grow to be more and more and more like Him. And why? He's on your side. The psalmist, this Levite, this wonderful, compassionate priest who understands what the people of Israel need to hear, says the same thing to us today. And he tells you, if you have this question burgeoning up from your soul and asking, where was God when? Know this. You may not know tomorrow, but you can know if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. If it was not the Lord who was on your side now, then we have no hope. But our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Him, because in Him we have all the promises of God. And the promises of God are not necessarily easy. They certainly weren't for Jesus Christ. They haven't been for me lately. They might not be for you now. We do have these sure, certain promises. That God is on our side. He is on your side, ever will be. Making us more and more like Jesus Christ until that resurrection when we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Lord is on our side. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the confidence that we have in You because of Your Spirit, because of the faith that You've given. I do pray, Father, that we would all live lives that are sure and certain that each step we take, You are with us, and You're drawing us to be like Christ. You're making us more and more like Him, preparing us for that resurrection when we shall see Him as He is. We shall be with You forever. For these things we do give You thanks. I pray, Lord, that You fasten them in our souls so we can be fastened more and more to Christ, following Him in His ways, becoming more and more like Him. When we see Him, we will recognize Him all the more. Father God, thank You that You are on our side. Thank You for the Spirit that You have given us, for Jesus Christ who suffered for us, for the salvation that we have, the communion of saints, for all the blessings and means of grace You have given us, for these things giving You thanks. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, John. He is on our side. Our closing hymn. Reinforce that. It's with His grace. His life was
number 438, 438. The benediction.
And so we're going to close with this. And it's a hymn full of the truths. And that's how we know it's on our side, because it is truth. So please stand at the table. Let's close our service today with number 438, benediction.